I was focusing on the camera at first. Well, hopefully everyone had a good dinner, and thanks for taking this time. Let's go. So when Ray asked me to do these passages, I was very, I was like, oh yeah, I'll do it. And then once you get into the scripture and you see the scripture and what you go through in your own personal life, you realize the weight of God's word and how even the word says that it's like it cuts in two. So it's very clear and shows your flaws in your life and shows the things that improves and shows also God's grace towards us. our Nate was driving chapter 40 and 41. And I'm just going to do a very quick recap where we are right now. We have been going through Joseph in his younger age from 17 to where we're going to read at chapter 42. He's going to be in his 37, 39 years old. So we'll be around my group age. And we can see that in chapter 41, Joseph was 30 years old when he was placed as a prime minister pretty much of Egypt. And he was got a direction from the Lord and wisdom how to bring abundance for 7 years into Egypt. And God brought abundance, but how he was collecting the grain and how he was keeping track of it and how he could handle it in a way for the next 7 years of famine. And so one thing that I wanted to put a topic to this chapter 42 is really is hovering over all these chapters is God has a plan and a purpose, has a purpose, better saying, his plans. And many times we're going to see that we do not know what that means. And many times we want to be like, I want to know what it means tomorrow. I want to know what is now. But we're going to learn a lot. I personally learn every time I go to Joseph, you can learn so much. On chapter 42, I'm going to title it more a test of transformation. And we're going to see the test of transformation on the brothers and a test of transformation or the character of Joseph. And so we are gonna see in those two viewpoints. But I wanted to bring a little bit on the map that we will have is as we were looking, Egypt is a very, in the map is a very unique, if you can go to the second slide. It's a very unique, when you see it, is the Nile River right in the middle. And then on the left and right side is desert. There is no life. Thank you, Neil. I appreciate it. There is no life. And if you can see, it's actually green right all around where the Nile River is. Now, I was digging a little bit about, and we know the Nile River is the longest river in the world to what I was reading. And then even today, they use an expression that they say, Egypt is the gift of the Nile. Because what's happening is that we have the white and the blue Nile that they come together. It comes even from Africa and goes down to Egypt. And when there was flood, then what was happening, all that slush or the mud was spreading around. And then now that land becomes pretty much a place that you can place crop and grow. And then you can have animals around. And now you have the water. So now you can create civilization. And then you can see that how busy is around with different temples and cities that the history has built in there. But was interested because I wanted to see if the history today carries any sign of Joseph in the map. And one interesting thing is that today they call a canal is off, right where the arrow is pointing, is off the Nile River and is going on the left side, east side. And then it went into a certain lake and they call it the waterway of Joseph, even today. Now, we do not know much, but I will just consider that God gave wisdom to Joseph and he had to dig this canal to expand more land. And so it's amazing just to see how God gave wisdom to Joseph to really have these 7 years help even more in abundance. So Joseph was, we can see that God carries his word, keeps his promises, because he said it's going to be 7 years of abundance that happened. And Joseph saw that and he was carrying what God said. And then we are in chapter 42, we are in famine. It started. It means maybe the Nile River maybe start drying out. We do not know, but people are all around, they don't have food. And so it just shows that God keeps his word. We're going to read the first five verses on, and we're going to see preparing the way to go to Egypt. And so we are seeing when Jacob and his sons is 20 years. We have not heard from them for 20 years now. So we have a big gap into our history. What has happened with Jacob? What has happened with the brothers? And so we start seeing a little bit. So we already know that Joseph now, instead of 12 boys, he has 11. And we know that he's getting older, he's 20 years older. The same is with the brothers. They are 20 years older. If I consider myself 20 years ago, I had hair. Today, I don't have. So they are getting older and changing. I'm sure they had their own families. We remember that in the end of the story, when they go back in Egypt, the whole family, there were 70 people. So there is family, there is servant, there is a group of people that need to be taken care of. And so we start in here. And when Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Indeed, I've heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to the place and buy for us there that we may live and not die." So Joseph's 10th brother went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, "Lest some calamity befall him." Sorry about that. "For the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan." So just to have a background, what's happening into the family in there, we can see that the brothers are like, "What shall we do? I mean, these are adults. They are have a family, but they don't know where they are. They don't know how to handle this situation." And so Jacob is like, "What are you doing? Why are you talking with each other? Come on, go in Egypt." And I'm sure the news goes around for Egypt because there's been 7 years of abundance in Egypt. A lot of people traveling and they were close by. So I'm sure word has gone around. And so he's like, "You have to go there and get all the money, get the silver, and keep going."
I'm going to stop sharing.
Can I do that? Yes, and we can go to the second map. I'm sorry. And then, so now they were in Hebron, and then they have to go to Egypt. And as I'm looking out there, it's like a 3 days of travel. So they had to go through deserts and travel for 3 days to go to Egypt. So yeah, we can take the map from there. Thanks. Okay. And something with the brothers. When the father said, go to Egypt, I'm just wondering what went in their minds. I don't think they forgot what they happened 20 years ago. And we're going to notice that has, I mean, we know the story. So Joseph's 10 brothers went and he's like, we have to do this. I know, father, we have our families. We have to do what needs to happen. But something with Jacob in here, he does not send Benjamin. There's something with Jacob that has this, there is this favorite tendency. I have my favorite, well, he loved his wife, Rachel. And for Rachel, he had to wait 7 years. So when you wait for the person that you love that person. And so he waited 7 years. And now Joseph was born from the woman that he loved. So Joseph was his favorite son. And in the same time, Benjamin was, when he was born, his mom died. So now this, even this boy is even more special. But now, if we remove for just a split of seconds the rest of the children, and let's think in our day, thinking that I have only one wife and two children, he lost Joseph, he lost his wife, and the only one in that favorite group is only Benjamin, and he's holding it very tight. So let's go to the next step. This is the test of encountering with the past. And that's when we see this moment that the brothers are gonna be in front of Joseph. So we can read from verse 6-9. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them. And I'll stop in there. Joseph remembered the dream. Okay, you can remember the dream of Joseph. And if we go back in there, he was 17, he goes to his brothers, and he's like, hey, brothers, I had a dream. And it's amazing, you can see there were always two sets of dream, even in other storylines. But I had a dream. And then he's saying please hear me. There we were. We were binding the sheep in the field. Then behold, my sheep arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheep stood all around and bowed down to the sheep. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they start hating him even more for his dreams and for his words. And then the second dream that he's saying to them is, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. So I'm wondering, when Joseph was remembering his dream, was he remembering that they bowed to him? Yes, that is one of them. But the second one, I'm sure, emotionally, he was going through, they were hating me about that. And because they hated me about it, they didn't act. I'm sure he was going emotional inside of him. So Joseph has an understanding of the brothers, but the brothers don't know anything. Was Joseph expecting to have his past showing right in his door? Was he prepared for it? Not sure. He continues. Verse 9, second part. You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land. See, Joseph is encountering his brothers, and maybe he's going through these different feelings. These are my brothers. I've not seen them for 20 years. And in the same time, they have done something to me. Maybe love was in there, and maybe it was anger, maybe different emotions, but he is testing them now. And there comes the test, and that test comes, you have come, you are spies. And we're going to see this repeating over and over. Now, why is he accusing them of being spies? He could have said, maybe you came just to steal the grain. But spies, they keep something secret. They are not truthful. They are trying to get some more information. So that the basis of accusing you are spies has to do with a virtue of their character. Are they honest? Are they truthful? And so that's when the test for these brothers start. And then we know how that test starts. We are all in one man's son. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. They are trying to be very open. But he said to them, no, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. But they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And verse 13, and in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. Wait a minute. They didn't have to talk about the one that is no more. They actually could have said, we are 11 of us. But they said, we were 12, one with the father, 10 are here, one is no more. And maybe they wanted to prove that, no, we are truthful in here. We are saying what is true. Maybe they've changed. Maybe they've considered that what they have done before is not right. And so they are handling the test by saying what is true. And they don't know that eventually their brother is in front of them. But Joseph said to them, it is as I spoke to you, saying you are spies. In this manner, you shall be tested by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not leave this place until your youngest brothers come here. Joseph is asking for the brother to come in here. What another test. How our brother will come here. We know our father did not want it. Benjamin to come with us. He's asking the impossible now. And now Joseph is giving the test. He's saying, send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. So he put them all together in prison for 3 days. Now I'm wondering why he put it in prison for 3 days. He could have said, turn around. 9 of you here, one goes right away. I don't have time to worry in here. I have a lot of business happening in here. I have a lot of line of people that are coming here to buy grain. We need to keep going with what is going in here. He didn't do that. He said 3 days. And I'm wondering if those 3 days were important because Joseph needed time for himself. Maybe he needed time to pray. Maybe he needed time to, we'll see it in verse 18. After 3 days, then Joseph said to them, do this and leave, for I fear God. He said that after 3 days. He's saying, I'm going to tell you what to do. You are going to leave. You're going to be alive. And I'm doing this because I fear the Lord. Now, let's think again about the moment about Joseph. doesn't Joseph remind us about God? He knows his brother. He knows the people. He knows what they have done. He has the authority to punish them. He has authority even to kill them. He's second in command. And he doesn't have any law to say, don't do that. He has a lot of power, strength, and knowledge about this, what's happening in here. But he's not using that power and that knowledge to put them down, but he's using by recognizing first God. 3 days for Joseph were so crucial that he had to spend time with the Lord, maybe to say, God, I'm struggling with these emotional things. I'm struggling with my past. Maybe, God, show me what is right in your eyes. And maybe he was asking wisdom from the Lord, how to handle this situation. So this is a test for Joseph. We know the brothers, but what the Joseph has a test, and he could use the test of saying, I'll do it. I'll take the situation in my own hands. Or through the test, he's getting closer with the Lord. Or through the test, he's recognizing the Lord. And so that's what he's doing. And so we go in the next verses. We're going to see, as Joseph is going through this test, he's showing that he's transformed by showing grace. And how is he showing grace to his brothers? And how, this is how the grace is going. Verse 19. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your house, and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified and you shall not die. And they did so. Okay, so let's make the math. Initially he said, I want 9 of you to stay here, 1 goes back home. But he's changing now. After he spent 3 days, he led them in the prison and think. And meanwhile, he was seeking out what to do. He said to them, now, no, you 9 are going to go back and 1 is going to stay here. We can say, but it's still harsh. I mean, just send them all. But no, he actually showed grace. He showed grace because we're going to see why. We're going to see them a little further. But there is another moment that we see the brothers going through a test. And the brothers are talking with each other, verse 21, 22, and 23. Then they say to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brothers. Now, Joseph, they think that Joseph doesn't understand them because Joseph is using the interpreter and then they are like with each other. I mean, what shall we do? Now, some of you know that in my family, we can speak Albanian. And so we have to be very aware that when we are in a different environment, we have to speak in English and it's a common language. But isn't that the tendency sometimes? And I can speak about myself that if we want to say something that somebody else doesn't want to listen, I use my language. And these brothers did the same thing. They were talking with each other and see what they are talking. We're truly guilty. We are truly guilty. Here's the test. They were recognizing their sin. There's something with the sin. When we sin, we think that we forget, but we don't forget. We cannot forget our sin when we have done something wrong. And when we come back, we say, we're truly guilty. You can see the repentant brothers that are being honest, and they are saying truly. Truly is not a it's a big word. We don't usually use the word truly in our vocabulary, but truly, it's I'm talking with all honest, and they were talking with each other. So we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we will not hear. Therefore, these distresses come upon us. And then we have Reuben in here. And if you do remember, Reuben actually is one of the brothers among the brother love. He was the one actually that shows more care towards Joseph. When the brothers wanted to put him in the well, he's like, no, don't do that. And he's trying to save Joseph, but it didn't happen. And but he's the oldest one too. I mean, he has a responsibility in the same sense. So he has been very vocal and but he's putting himself together with the brothers. He's like, this is us. We have done now together. And I'm wondering at the same time, when they went to the father, when they lied to the father, Reuben was in there. I mean, I do not know, but I'm just questioning that. If he was part of that, even though he didn't put it in the well, he was part of accepting the lie that was in there. But you can see even him. Now we are seeing this moment of Joseph. Verse 24, he turned himself away from them and wept. Then he returned to them again and talked with them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. So we can see Joseph saw that the brothers were repented and he wept. He wept because he loved them. We can give other reasons why he wept. If you guys have any other reasons why he wept, let me know. Can be a web of joy. But then he has to follow up through with what is happening here. But let's see the grace that I wanted to point out. The transformation that in the test of transformation is shown through grace in Joseph. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provision for the journey. Thus he did for them, so they loaded their donkeys with the grain and departed from there. Okay, so Joseph sent 9 brothers back. He gave the donkeys. Here's even the grain. He put even the money in. And then he also gave food for the journey. I mean, he didn't have to provide food for the journey. And he didn't have to put the money back. Because maybe he didn't want it even to be recognized. But he's like, no, I want to give to them because I want them back. I don't want them also to have a reason for not to come back. I want them to have even a bigger reason to come back, saying, because they might not have more money back at home. So I want them to come back to me, not to be shy to come back because they don't have the money. I'm going to provide anything that they can come back, that they can prove themselves, their honesty. I'm going to do all of that. And so he's providing with all of that. And just shows grace. And doesn't show how God is gracious with us. Isn't when truth intersects with grace. Isn't when God is telling us that I love you, but your sin is a trouble in here. And repent. Repent of your sins. And once you repent, I'm here. I'm always here with open arms. And I'm going to provide everything for you. And God is the one that provides for us. And if we talk for us, isn't God providing all the spiritual things that we need? And doesn't I many times struggle to say that I don't have everything, God? Because, or maybe I say, God, no, I got the donkey and I can do it myself. And God is saying, no, I'm going to give you also the grain and also the silver. Just want to make sure that you have everything, but make sure you come back to me. So from this test, we're going to see another test for the brothers. And this is the test. If you remember 20 years ago, they did the scene with their brother Joseph, and they went to the brother, to the father, and they went with a lie. Now they don't have another brother. And let's see how they are going to go to the father. And this is the next test. And I skipped, I think, a moment in here. A crucial moment in verse 28. I apologize about this. Verse 28 is another crucial moment that during the trip back, there are 3 days to go back, one of the brothers opened one of the sack and he's seen the gold, the silver in there. And he's like, what is going on in here? And so my money has been restored and there it is in my sack. Then their hearts failed them and they were afraid, saying to one another, what is this that God has done for us? Another test, because it's so important into this test, what is happening is they are recognizing the hand of God into this, because there is no sense. God has to be in here. And aren't these the children of Jacob that are recognizing God into their moments of life? And so it's in this test, also Joseph, once they are in the, and also the brothers, once they are in the right moment with God, they are recognizing God. Once they keep, once they are true with God, they bring him up, vocalizing him. So they go to the father Jacob, verse 29, and I'm going to stop to verse 35. That they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man who is lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, we're honest men, we're not spies. We're 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is with our father this day in the land of Canaan. Then the man, the lord of the country, said to us, by this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me. Take food for the famine of your household and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. I'll grant your brother to you, and you may trade in the land. That it happened as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. As I mentioned, this is another test of the brothers being truthful and honest. Isn't the Bible verse that says that the truth will set you free? Isn't that our Lord Jesus Christ will set us free? Because we know that he's the truth. We know that he's alive, and we know that he's awake. And it's a question that come, am I being truthful with the Lord and go back to him and free myself from my sin? Am I recognizing God into my life and I can be vocal? Am I part of God's plan? We for sure are part of God's plan, because even Romans says that everything that, let me say it exactly. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Did Joseph, when he was 17 years old, was he chasing after his dream? You know, I'm 17 and I'm going to be this person. And then my brothers put me there. Then my brothers told me, And then now it's like my dream is shut down. What am I gonna do? But no, he continued loving God. He continued to proclaim God. Again, even in Potiphar's house, and again when he was in the prison, and again, even through what is happening so far, he's bringing God. He's loving God. And he was not seeking how to fulfill his dream. He was seeking how to bring glory to God. And so that is God's plan, that we bring glory to God through our life. Next week, I would like to continue with the chapter, end of chapter 42 and connecting with chapter 43, because it's fulfilling God's purpose and plan through surrendering. And I like to see all the different characters, how they are surrendering, and the impact that does into the life. And I wanted to share more verses, but the biggest thing is it's our God has created us for a purpose, and that purpose is that we honor him with our life. And if Joseph is one of the stories, you and I have our own story life, and many times, and I like to create my own story and my own dream. And many times God is saying, no, 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 no. Come back. Look at me. Look at me, because I'm more important. In the business world, and I have a book in here. In the business world, we function with a business plan. And it's very important that we have to follow the word PULK. That it means, it stands for P for planning, O for being organized, L for leading, and C for controlling. And it's very good in the business world to apply, and in other areas of life. But the business plan of God is, just trust me, I got this. And yeah, so if we can pray and continue pray, the meeting. And Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace that is poured towards us. Thank you for the story of Joseph and how he had relationship with you. He feared you, Lord. He was seeking your understanding. He was seeking how to grow in his character in relationship with you. And through the test, he grew in character. The brothers were growing in character. And all of it is to honor you, Lord. God, as we go through different tests in our lives that are there ongoing, help us to recognize you. Help us to look at you. Help us to know that you have provided everything for us. Help us to let you do the work, and give us wisdom how to handle the different situations. And Lord, we thank you for our assembly. We thank you for our elders. We thank you for our deacons. We thank you for each believer that encourages, that builds up. And we pray for those that are going through a hard time spiritually, or physically, or financially, or in other areas, mentally. We just seek for your guidance, help, and support. And we thank you and we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Mandy.
Very nice, Mandy. We appreciate your study tonight and bringing out these applications for living today. prayer, trust in the Lord, remembering to glorify Him in all we do, and to be patiently waiting for His answers. And I appreciate the way you had these dualities of tests, Joseph's test and his brother's test, and how they all did. And very nice to apply them to our lives today. This is not an abstraction. This is a true spiritual reality that we face daily in many cases in our lives. Are there any questions of Mandy at this point? Or any other comments on the passage? Genesis 42, next week 43.
I might have a comment on the weeping. I didn't say it earlier.
Can you hear me? Come up right okay. there. John Shewitt's coming up.
So, Mandy, you asked if there were any other thoughts on the weeping. Yeah. And I thought, well, Joseph was thrown in the pit 20 years ago. He hadn't seen his brothers or anything. He really didn't even know. The Bible doesn't say he knew why they threw him in the pit, other than that they were mad at him because of a dream. But really, you're going to throw your brother in a pit to die because of a dream? And the other thing is, when they were talking, he didn't know all of what was going on prior to when he got there to the pit. Now he's hearing why they threw him in the pit and what Reuben said and everything. And I think just that emotion after 20 years, now you're hearing why you were thrown in the pit, why you've been in Egypt for 20 years, probably was contributed to his weeping. I just want to
think that understanding. You received understanding at the point.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to.
No, that's a good point. I appreciate it.
Hey, John.
Yeah. Where do I look?
Oh.
Yes, Fred?
John, May 12th.
Yes.
Don't forget your daughter's birthday today.
Oh, I haven't. But she's in Hawaii.
Stacy's in Hawaii even?
Yes. They left today for Hawaii to do their baby moon.
To do their what?
Baby moon? Oh. You haven't heard of that?
No.
Neither have I until they did it. Well, everybody knows she's pregnant. That's what it is.
Besides you and Carmen, who's everybody else?
You knew they were pregnant, right? I got to look this way.
Nope.
I don't think I knew.
I didn't know.
Maybe I did.
I saw it on Facebook.
You can announce that.
Okay, I'm sorry. A baby moon is celebrating their pregnancy, and so they went to Hawaii because they are pregnant. We announced this, didn't we, Carmen?
Maybe so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, she's due on September 29th.
Congratulations.
Amen.
Had the picture of the shoes on Facebook.
Yeah, they had a whole big thing on Facebook. So if you're not on Facebook, I apologize.
Okay. Well, I'm happy for her anyway.
Well, thank you. So are we.
So Hawaii is a long way from Egypt.
Yeah.
We still don't know what a baby moon is.
Baby moon? Okay, so when you get married, you got a honeymoon. Now you're pregnant, you got a baby moon. Yeah. Believe me, I didn't know either.
We should stop there.
Yes.
All right. Very, very good. Wondering about